What if the texts were from Allie's ghost? A ghost could have easily slid between the cracks of the women's bathroom at Snooker's. And spirits from the dead sometimes contacted the living to make amends, right? It was like their final homework assignment before graduating to heaven. If Allie needed to make amends, though, Arya could think of a more deserving candidate than her. Try Jenna. Arya put her hands over her eyes, blocking out the memory. Screw therapy that said you should face your demons. She tried to block out the Jenna thing as much as he tried to block out her dad and Meredith. Arya sighed. At times like this, she wished she hadn't drifted from her old friends. Like Hannah, a few desks over. If only Arya could walk up to Hannah and talk to her about this, ask her questions about Allie. But time really changed people. She wondered if it would be easier to talk to Spencer or Emily instead. Hey there. Arya straightened up. Ezra was standing in front of her desk. Hi, she squeaked. She met his blue eyes, and her heart ached. Ezra tilted his hips awkwardly.
How are you?
I'm... great. Really awesome. She sat up straight. On the plane back from Iceland, Arya had read in a 17 she found in her seat pocket that boys liked enthusiastic, positive girls. And since Brilliant hadn't worked yesterday, why not try out Peppy? Ezra clicked and unclicked his Bic pen.
Listen, sorry to cut you off yesterday in the middle of your speech. Do you want to give me your index cards so I can take a look at them and grade you?
Okay. Huh. Would Ezra do that for the other students? So, how are you?
Good.
Ezra smiled. His lips twitched as if he wanted to say more.
What are you working on there?
He placed his hands on her desk and leaned over to look at her notebook. Arya stared at his hands for a moment, then slid her pinky finger up against his. She tried to make it look like an accident, but he didn't pull away. It felt like electricity was surging between their two pinkies.
Mr. Fitz? Devin Arliss's hand shot up in the back row. I have a question.
Be right there, Ezra said, straightening up.
Arya put the pinky finger that had touched Ezra's into her mouth. She watched him for a few seconds, thinking he might come back to her, but he didn't.
Well then, back to Plan J, for jealous.
She turned to Noel. I think our movie should have a sex scene in it. She said it really loud, but Ezra was still bent over Devin's desk.
Awesome, Noel said. Does the guy who thinks he's a duck get some?
Yup. With a woman who kisses like a goose. Noel laughed.
How does a goose kiss?
Arya turned toward Devin's desk. Ezra was facing them now. Good. Like this. She leaned over and smacked Noel on the cheek with her lips. Surprisingly, Noel smelled pretty good. Like Kiehl's Blue Eagle shaving cream.
Nice, Noel whispered.
The rest of the class burbled with activity, unaware of any goose kissing, but Ezra, still next to Devin's desk, stood absolutely still.
So, did you know I'm having a party tonight?
Noel put his hand on Arya's knee. Yeah, I heard something about that.
You should totally come. We're going to have a lot of beer. And other things, like scotch. Do you like scotch? My dad has a collection, so...
I love scotch. Arya felt Ezra's eyes burning into her back. Then she leaned over to Noel and said, I'll totally come to your party tonight. By the way his pen fell out of his hand and clattered to the ground, it wasn't hard to guess whether or not Ezra had heard them. 18. Where's our old Emily, and what have you done with her? Are you going to the con party later? Carolyn asked, steering the car into the Fields' driveway. Emily ran a comb through her still wet hair. I don't know. Today at practice, she and Ben hadn't said two words to each other, so she wasn't exactly sure about going with him. Are you?
I don't know. Topher and I might just go to Applebee's instead. Of course, Carolyn would have a hard time deciding between a Friday night field party and Applebee's. They slammed the doors of the Volvo and walked up the stone path to the Fields' 30-year-old colonial-style house. It wasn't nearly as big or flashy as most of the houses in Rosewood. The blue-painted shingles were chipping a little, and some of the stones in the front path had disappeared. The deck furniture looked kind of outdated. Their mother greeted them at the front door, holding the cordless phone.
"Emily, I need to speak with you."
Emily glanced at Carolyn, who ducked her head and ran upstairs. Uh-oh. "What's up?" Her mom smoothed her hands over her gray pleated slacks.
"I was on the phone with Coach Lauren. She said your head seems to be somewhere else, not focused on swimming. And you missed practice on Wednesday."
Emily swallowed hard. "I was tutoring some kids in Spanish.
That's what Carolyn told me. So I called Ms. Hernandez."
Emily stared down at her green Vans. Ms. Hernandez was the Spanish teacher in charge of tutoring.
"Don't lie to me, Emily."
Mrs. Fields frowned.
"Where were you?"
Emily walked into the kitchen and slumped into a chair. Her mom was a rational person. They could discuss this. She fiddled with the silver loop at the top of her ear. Years ago, Allie had asked Emily to come to the piercing palace with her when she got her belly button pierced, and they'd ended up getting matching piercings at the top of their ears, too. Emily still wore the same little silver hoop. Afterward, Allie bought Emily a pair of leopard print earmuffs to hide the evidence. Emily still wore those earmuffs on the coldest days in the winter.
"Look," she finally said, "I was just hanging out with that new girl, Maya. She's really nice. We're friends."
Her mother looked confused.
"Why didn't you just do something after practice? Or on Saturday?"
"I don't see why it's such a big deal," Emily said. "I missed one day. I'll swim a double this weekend, I promise."
Her mother pursed her thin lips in a straight line and sat down.
"But Emily,
I just don't understand. When you signed up for swimming this year, you made a commitment. You can't go running off with friends if you're supposed to be swimming."
Emily stopped her. "Signed up for swimming? Like I had a choice? What's going on with you? You're using a strange tone of voice. You're lying about where you've been."
Her mother shook her head.
"What's with this lying? You've never lied before."
"Mom." Emily paused, feeling very tired. She wanted to point out that, yes, she had lied. Plenty. Even though she'd been the good girl of her seventh grade friends, she'd done all kinds of stuff her mom never knew about. Right after Allie went missing, Emily worried that Allie's disappearance was somehow, cosmically, her fault, as punishment maybe, for how Emily had secretly disobeyed her parents. For getting that piercing. For the Jenna thing. Since then, she'd tried to be perfect, to do everything her parents asked. She'd made herself into this model daughter, inside and out.
"I'd just like to know what's going on with you," her mother said. Emily laid her hands on the placemat, remembering how she'd become this version of herself that wasn't really her. Allie wasn't gone because Emily had disobeyed her parents. She realized that now. And the same way she couldn't imagine sitting on Ben's itchy couch, feeling his slimy tongue on her neck, she also couldn't see herself spending the next 2 years of high school, and then the next 4 years of college, in a pool for hours every day. Why couldn't Emily just be Emily? Couldn't her time be better served studying or, God forbid, having some fun?
"If you want to know what's going on with me," Emily started, pushing her hair out of her face. She took a deep breath. "I don't think I want to swim anymore."
Mrs. Fields's right eye twitched. Her lips parted slightly. Then she spun around to face the fridge, staring at all the chicken magnets on the freezer. She didn't speak, but her shoulders shook. Finally, she turned. Her eyes were slightly red, and her face looked saggy, as if she'd aged 10 years in just a few moments.
I'm calling your father. He'll talk some sense into you. I've already made up my mind.
As she said it, she realized she had.
No, you haven't. You don't know what's best for you.
Mom! Emily suddenly felt tears fill her eyes. It was scary and sad to have her mother angry with her, but now that she'd made the decision, she felt like she'd finally been allowed to take off a big goose-down jacket in the middle of a heat wave. Her mom's mouth trembled.
Is it because of that new friend of yours?
Emily cringed and wiped her nose.
What? Who?
Mrs. Field sighed. That girl who moved into the De Laurentiis house. She was the one you skipped practice to spend time with, right? What were you two doing?
We just went to the trail,
Emily whispered, and talked. Her mother looked down.
I don't have a good feeling about girls like that.
Wait. What? Emily stared at her mother.
She knew?
But how? Her mom hadn't even met Maya. Unless you could look at her and just know?
But Maya's really nice, Emily managed. I forgot to tell you, but she said the brownies were great. She said thank you.
Her mother pinched her lips together.
I went over there. I was trying to be neighborly, but this is too much. She's not a good influence for you.
I don't...
Please, Emily, her mom interrupted.
Emily's words stuck in her throat.
Her mom sighed. There are just so many cultural differences with her, and I just don't understand what you and Maya have in common anyway. And who knows about her family? Who knows what they could be into?
Wait, what? Emily stared at her mother. Maya's family? As far as Emily knew, Maya's father was a civic engineer, and her mom worked as a nurse practitioner. Her brother was a senior at Rosewood and a tennis prodigy. They were building a tennis court for him in the backyard. What did her family have to do with anything?
I just don't trust those people, her mother said. I know that sounds really narrow-minded, but I don't.
Emily's mind screeched to a halt. Her family? Cultural differences? Those people? She went over everything her mother just said. Oh. My. God. Mrs. Fields wasn't upset because she thought Maya was gay. She was upset because Maya, and the rest of her family, were black. 19. Spicy Hot. Friday evening, Spencer lay on her maple four-poster bed in the middle of her brand-new converted barn bedroom, with Icy Hot slathered on her lower back, staring at the gorgeous beamed ceiling. You'd never guess that 50 years ago, cows slept in this barn. The room was huge, with four gigantic windows and a little patio. After dinner last night, she'd moved all of her boxes and furniture there. She'd organized all of her books and CDs according to author and artist, set up her surround sound, and even reset TiVo to her preferences, including her brand new favorite programs on BBC America. It was perfect. Except, of course, for her throbbing back. Her body ached as if she'd gone bungee jumping without a ripcord. Ian had made them run 3 miles at a sprint, followed by practice drills. All the girls had been talking about what they were wearing to Noel's party tonight, but after the hellish practice, Spencer was just as happy to stay home with some calc homework, especially since home was now her very own little barn utopia. Spencer reached for the jar of Icy Hot and realized it was empty. She sat up slowly and put her hand on her back like an old woman. She'd just have to get some more from the main house. Spencer just loved that she could now call it the main house. It felt terribly grown up. As she crossed her long, hilly lawn, she let her mind return to one of her favorite topics du jour, Andrew Campbell. Yes, it was a relief that A was Andrew and not Allie, and yes, she felt a billion times better and a zillion times less paranoid since yesterday, but still,
What a horrible, meddling spy. How dare he ask such intrusive, gossipy questions in the reading room and write her a creepy email? And everyone thought he was so sweet and innocent, with his perfectly knotted tie and his luminous skin. He was probably the type who brought Cetaphil to school and washed up after gym class. Weirdo. Shutting the door of the upstairs bathroom, she found the jar of Icy Hot in the closet, pulled down her Nula Puma warm-up pants, twisted around to see herself in the mirror, and started rubbing the balm all over her back and hamstrings. The Icy Hot stinky menthol smell instantly wafted around the room, and she closed her eyes. The door burst open. Spencer tried to pull her pants up as quickly as she could. "Oh my God," Ren said, his eyes wide. Shit. I'm sorry." "It's all right," Spencer said, scrambling to tie her waistband. "I'm still confused about this house." Ren was wearing his blue hospital scrubs, which consisted of a V-neck draped top and tie-waist wide leg pants. He looked all ready for bed. "I thought this was our bedroom." "Happens all the time," Spencer said, even though it obviously didn't. Ren paused in the doorway. Spencer felt him looking at her and quickly looked down to make sure her boob wasn't hanging out and there wasn't a glob of Icy Hot on her neck. "So, how's the bon?" Ren asked. Spencer grinned, then self-consciously covered her mouth. Last year, she'd had her teeth whitened at the dentist, and they'd come out looking a little too white. She'd had to purposely dull them with tons of coffee. "Awesome. How's my sister's old bedroom?" Ren smiled wryly. It's rather pink." "Yeah, all those frilly curtains," Spencer added. "I found a disturbing CD, too." "Oh yeah? What?" "Phantom of the Opera," he grimaced. "But aren't you into plays?" Spencer blurted out. "Well, Shakespeare and stuff." Ren raised an eyebrow. "How'd you know that?" Spencer paled. It might sound sort of weird if she told Ren she'd Googled him. She shrugged and leaned back on the counter. A shooting pain exploded through her lower back, and she winced. Ren hesitated. "What's the matter?" "You know." Spencer leaned against the sink. "Field hockey again." "What did you do this time?" "Pulled something. See the Icy Hot?" Holding her towel in one hand, she reached for the jar, scooped some into her palm, and slid her hand down her pants to rub it into her hamstring. She groaned slightly, and hoped it was a sexy-sounding groan. Fine, so sue her for being a teensy bit dramatic. "Do you need some help?" Spencer hesitated, but Ren looked so concerned, and it was excruciating. Well, painful anyway, to twist her back that way, even if she was doing it on purpose. "If you don't mind," she said softly, "thanks." Spencer nudged the door a little more closed with her foot. She smeared the Icy Hot goop from her hand onto his. Ren's large hands felt sexy all slimed up with balm. She caught sight of their figures in the mirror and shivered. They looked awesome together. "So, where's the damage?" Ren asked. Spencer pointed. The muscle was right below her butt. "Hang on," she murmured. She grabbed a towel from the rack, wrapped it around herself, and then slid off her pants under the towel. She motioned to where it hurt, indicating that Ren reached below the towel. "But, try not to get too much on the towel," she said. "I begged my mom to order these special from France a couple years ago, and Icy Hot ruins them. You can't get the smell out in the wash." She heard Ren stifle a laugh and stiffened. Had that come out way too uptight and Melissa-ish? Ren slicked back his floppy hair with his goop-free hand and knelt down, slathering the Icy Hot on her skin. He reached his hands under her towel and began to rub slow, gentle circles across her muscles. Spencer relaxed and then leaned into him slightly. He stood, but didn't back away from her. She felt his breath on her shoulder, and then on her ear. Her skin felt radiant and fiery. "Feel better?" Ren murmured. "Feels amazing." She might have said it in her head. She wasn't sure. "I should do it," Spencer thought. "I should kiss him." He pressed his hands more firmly on her back, his nails digging in a little. Her chest fluttered. In the hall, the phone rang. "Ren, dear?" Spencer's mother called from downstairs. "Are you upstairs? Melissa's on the phone for you." He sprang backward. Spencer jolted forward and pulled the towel around her. He quickly wiped the icy hot off his hands onto another towel. Spencer was too panicked to tell him not to. He murmured. She looked away.
"You should..."
"Yeah." He pushed the door back open. "I hope that worked." "Yeah, thanks," she murmured back, closing the door behind him. Then she draped herself over the sink and stared at her reflection. Something flickered in the mirror, and for a second, she thought someone was by the shower. But it was only the flapping shower curtain, lifted by a breeze from the open window. Spencer turned back to the sink. They'd spilled a few globs of icy hot on the counter. It was white and gooey, sort of like frosting. With her pointer finger, Spencer spelled out Ren's name. Then she drew a heart around it. Spencer considered leaving it there, but when she heard Ren stomp down the hall and say, "Hey, love, missed you," she frowned and rubbed it out with the heel of her hand. 20. All Emily needs is a lightsaber and a black helmet. It was just getting dark as Emily slid into Ben's green Jeep Cherokee. "Thanks for convincing my parents that my punishment starts tomorrow."
"No prob," Ben answered.
He didn't give her a hello kiss, and he was blasting Fallout Boy, who he knew Emily hated. "They're kind of pissed at me."
"I heard."
He kept his eyes on the road. Interesting that Ben didn't ask why. Maybe he already knew. Bizarrely, Emily's father had come into her room earlier and said,
"Ben's going to pick you up in 20 minutes. Be ready."
Okay. Emily had thought she was grounded for life for denouncing the swimming gods, but she had the feeling they actually wanted her to go out with Ben. Maybe he'd talk some sense into her. Emily heaved a sigh. "Sorry about practice yesterday. I'm just under some stress." Ben finally turned down the volume.
"It's all right. You're just confused."
Emily licked her just chapsticked lips. "Confused? About what?"
"I'll forgive you this time," Ben added.
He reached over and squeezed her hand. Emily bristled. "This time? And shouldn't he say he was sorry too? He had, after all, stormed off into the locker room like a baby." They pulled through the con's open wrought iron gates. The property was set back from the road, so the driveway was half a mile long and surrounded by tall, thick pines. Even the air smelled cleaner. The red brick house sat behind massive Doric columns. It had a portico with a little horse statue on top and a gorgeous all-glass sunroom off to the side. Emily counted 14 windows on the second floor, from one end to the other. But the house didn't matter tonight. They were going to the field. It was set way off from the property by high, British racing green hedges and a stone wall and went on for acres. Half of it housed the Conn horse farm. On the other side were a huge lawn and a duck pond. Surrounding the whole yard were thick woods. As Ben parked the car in a makeshift grass parking lot, Emily climbed out, hearing the Killers blaring from the backyard. Familiar faces from Rosewood climbed out of their Jeeps, Escalades, and Saabs. A group of immaculately made-up girls took cigarette packs out of their little chain-link quilted bags and lit up, talking on their tiny cell phones. Emily looked down at her worn blue Converse All-Stars and touched her messy ponytail. Ben caught up with her, and they cut through the hedges and across a secluded stretch of woods and entered the party zone. There were a lot of kids Emily didn't know, but that was because the Khans invited all the IT kids from the area's other private schools, in addition to Rosewood. There were a keg and a drinks table by the bushes, and they'd set up a wooden dance floor, tiki lights, and tents in the middle of the field. On the other side of the field, near the woods, there was an old-school photo booth lit up with Christmas lights. The Khans dragged it out of their basement for this party every year. Noel greeted them. He wore a gray t-shirt that said, "We'll flex for food," ripped-up faded blue jeans, and no shoes or socks.
"What up?"
He handed them both a beer.
"Thanks, man."
Ben took his cup and started drinking. The amber beer messily dribbled down his chin.
"Nice party."
Someone tapped Emily on the shoulder. Emily turned. It was Aria Montgomery, wearing a tight, faded red University of Iceland t-shirt, a frayed denim mini, and red John Fluvog cowboy boots. Her black hair was pulled back into a high ponytail. "Wow, hi," Emily said. She'd heard Aria was back, but she hadn't seen her yet. "How is Europe?" "Awesome." Aria smiled. The girls looked at each other for a few seconds. Emily paused, wanting to tell Aria she was glad she'd ditched her fake nose ring and pink hair stripes, but wondered if it would be weird to make a reference to their old friendship. She took a sip of her beer and pretended to be fascinated with the ridges on the cup. Aria fidgeted. "Listen, I'm glad you're here. I've been wanting to talk to you."
"You have?"
Emily met her eyes and then looked back down. "Well, either you or Spencer."
"Really?"
Emily felt her chest tighten.
"Spencer?"
"So, promise me you won't think I'm crazy. I've been away for such a long time and..." Aria made a puckered face that Emily remembered well. It meant she was considering her words carefully. "And what?" Emily raised her eyebrows, waiting. Maybe Aria wanted all her old friends to have a reunion. Of course, being away, she wouldn't know how far apart they'd grown. How uncomfortable would that be? "Well..." Aria looked around warily. "Was there any more news about Allie's disappearance while I was away?" Emily jerked back, hearing Allie's name come out of her old friend's mouth.
"Her disappearance? What do you mean?"
"Like, did they ever find out who took her? Did she ever come back?"
No.
Emily chewed on her thumbnail uncomfortably. Aria leaned into Emily. "Do you think she's dead?" Emily's eyes widened.
I don't know. Why?"
Aria set her jaw. She looked deep in thought. "What's this about?" Emily asked, her heart pounding.
"Nothing."
Then Aria's eyes focused on someone behind her. She clamped her mouth shut.
"Hey,"
said a gravelly voice behind Emily. Emily turned.
"Maya."
"Hey," she answered, nearly dropping her cup.
I didn't know you were coming."
"I didn't either," Maya said. "But my brother wanted to. He's here somewhere." Emily turned to introduce Aria, but she was gone.
"So, is this Maya?"
Ben reappeared next to them.
"The girl that's turned Emily to the dark side?"
"Dark side?" Emily squeaked. "What dark side?"
"Quitting swimming,"
Ben answered. He turned to Maya.
"You know she's quitting, right?"
"You are?"
Maya turned to Emily and grinned excitedly. Emily shot Ben a look.
"Maya didn't have anything to do with that, and we don't have to talk about it now."
Ben took another big sip of beer.
"Why not? Isn't it your big news?"
"I don't know."
"Whatever."
He clapped his heavy hand on her shoulder a little roughly.
"I'm going to get another beer. You want another?"
Emily nodded, even though she only ever drank one beer at parties, max. Ben didn't ask Maya if she wanted a drink. As he walked away, she noticed his saggy jeans. Yuck. Maya took Emily's hand and squeezed.
How's it feel?
Emily stared at their entwined hands, blushed, but kept holding on.
Good.
Or scary. Or at some moments, like a bad movie.
Confusing, but good.
I have just the thing to celebrate with, Maya whispered. She reached into her Manhattan Portage knapsack and showed Emily the top of a Jack Daniels bottle.
Stole it from the liquor table. Wanna help kill it with me?
Emily gazed at Maya. Her hair was pulled off her face, and she wore a simple black sleeveless shirt and an army green cargo skirt. She looked effervescent and fun. Way more fun than Ben in his saggy butt jeans.
Why not?
She answered, and followed Maya toward the woods. 21. Hot girls. They're just like us. Hannah took a sip of her vodka lemonade and lit another cigarette. She hadn't seen Sean since they parked his car on the Khan's lawn 2 hours ago, and even Mona had vanished. Now she was stuck talking to Noel's best friend, James Freed, Zelda Millings, a beautiful blonde girl who only wore clothes and shoes made out of hemp, and a bunch of squealy, clicky girls from Doring Bell Friends, the ultra-hip Quaker school in the next town over. The girls had come to Noel's party last year, and even though Hannah had hung out with them then, she couldn't remember any of their names. James stubbed out his Marlboro on the heel of his Adidas shell tops and took a swig of beer.
I heard Noel's brother has a ton of pot.
Eric? Asked Zelda. Where's he at?
Photo booth, James answered.
Suddenly, Sean darted through the pines. Hannah stood up, adjusted her hopefully slimming BCBG slip dress, and tied the straps of her brand new pale blue Christian Louboutin sandals back around her ankles. As she ran to catch up with him, her heel sunk into the dewy grass. She flailed her arms, dropped her drink, and suddenly she was on her butt.
And she's down, James called out drunkenly.
The Doring Bell girls all laughed. Hannah quickly scrambled up, pinching her palm to keep herself from crying. This was the biggest party of the year, but she felt way off her game. Her dress felt snug around her hips. She hadn't been able to get Sean to crack a smile during the car ride over here, despite the fact that he'd scored his dad's BMW 760i for the night. And she was on her third calorie-laden vodka lemonade, and it was only 9:30. Sean held out his hand to help her up.
Are you okay?
Hannah hesitated. Sean was dressed in a plain white t-shirt that accentuated his strong-from-soccer chest and flat-from-good-jeans stomach, dark blue paper denim jeans that made his butt look awesome, and ragged black Pumas. His blondish-brown hair was messily styled, his brown eyes looked extra soulful, and his pink lips extra kissable. For the past hour, she'd watched Sean bond with every guy there and carefully avoid her. I'm fine, she said, sticking her lip out in a Hannah-patented pout.
What's the matter?
She tried to balance in her shoes. Can we go somewhere private for a while? Maybe the woods? To talk? Sean shrugged.
Okay.
Yes. Hannah led Sean down a path to the Manhood Woods, the trees casting long, dark shadows across their bodies. The only other time Hannah had ever been here was in seventh grade, when her friends had a secret rendezvous with Noel Kahn and James Freed. Allie made out with Noel, Spencer made out with James, and she, Emily, and Aria sat on logs, shared cigarettes, and miserably waited for them to finish. Tonight, she vowed, would be different. She sat down on a thick patch of grass and pulled Sean down with her. You having fun? She passed her drink to Sean.
Yeah, it's cool.
Sean took a small sip.
You?
Hannah hesitated. Sean's skin shone in the moonlight. His shirt had a tiny smear of dirt on it near the collar. I guess. All right, chatting time was over. Hannah took the drink out of Sean's hand and grabbed his sweet, square jaw and started to kiss him. There. It sort of sucked that the world was kind of spinning, and that instead of tasting the inside of Sean's mouth, she tasted Mike's hard lemonade, but whatever. After a minute of kissing, she felt Sean pulling away. Maybe this called for upping the ante a little. She hiked up her navy dress, exposing her legs and tiny lavender Cosabella lace thong. The woodsy air was cold. A mosquito landed on her upper thigh.
"Hannah," Sean said gently, reaching to pull her dress back down. "This isn't..."
He wasn't fast enough, though. Hannah had already torn the dress over her head. Sean's eyes canvassed her whole body. Amazingly, this was only the second time he'd seen her in her underwear, unless you counted the week they spent at his parents' place in Avalon on the Jersey Shore when she was in her bikini. But that was different. "You don't really want to stop, do you?" She reached toward him, hoping she looked smoldering yet wholesome.
"Yeah."
Sean caught her hand.
"I do."
Hannah wrapped herself up in her dress as best she could. She probably had 100 mosquito bites already. Her lip trembled.
"But I don't get it. Don't you love me?"
The words felt very small and frail coming out of her mouth. Sean took a long time to respond. Hannah heard another couple from the party giggling nearby.
"I don't know," he answered.
"Jesus," Hannah said, rolling away from him. The vodka lemonade sloshed in her stomach. "Are you gay?" It came out a little meaner than she meant it to.
"No."
Sean sounded hurt.
"Well, then what? Am I not hot enough?"
"Of course not,"
Sean said, sounding shocked. He thought for a moment.
"You're one of the prettiest girls I know, Hannah. Why don't you know that?"
"What are you talking about?" Hannah asked, disgusted.
I just think that maybe if you could have a little more respect for yourself..."
"I have plenty of self-respect," Hannah shouted at him. She shifted onto her butt, rolling onto a pine cone. Sean stood up. He looked deflated and sad.
"Look at you."
His eyes traveled from her shoes to the top of her head.
"I'm just trying to help you, Hannah. I care about you."
Hannah felt tears gathering at the corners of her eyes and tried to choke them back down. She would not cry right now.
"I respect myself," she repeated. "I just wanted to show you how I feel."
"I'm just trying to be choosy about sex."
He sounded not kind, but not mean either. Just detached.
"I want it to be at the right time, with the right person. And it doesn't look like that's going to be you."
Sean sighed and took a step away from her.
"I'm sorry."
Then he pushed through the trees and was gone. Hannah was so embarrassed and angry, she couldn't speak. She tried to stand up to follow Sean, but her heel caught again and she fell over. She splayed her arms out and stared up at the stars, holding her thumbs over her eyes so tears wouldn't pour out of them.
"She looks like she might puke."
Hannah opened one eye and saw two freshman boys, most likely crashers, hovering over her as if she were a girl they'd created on their computers.
"Fuck off, pervs," she said to the ogling freshman as she stood up.
Across the lawn, she could see Sean running after Mason Byers, wielding a yellow croquet mallet. Hannah sniffed as she brushed herself off and headed back toward the party. Didn't anyone care about her? She thought of the letter she'd gotten yesterday. "Even Daddy doesn't love you best." Hannah wished, suddenly, that she had her dad's number, her mind flashing back to that day she'd met her dad and Isabel and Kate with Allie. Although it had been February, the weather in Annapolis had been freakishly warm, and Hannah, Allie, and Kate had been sitting outside on the porch, trying to get tan. Allie and Kate were bonding over their favorite shades of MAC nail polish, but Hannah couldn't get into it. She felt heavy and awkward. She'd seen Kate's relieved expression when she and Allie first emerged from the train, surprise at how gorgeous Allie was, and then relief when she laid eyes on Hannah. It was as if Kate was thinking,
Well, I don't need to worry about her.
Without realizing it, Hannah had eaten the entire bowl of cheese popcorn that was on the table.
And six of the profiteroles.
And some of the brie wedge that was meant for Isabel and her dad. She clutched her bloated stomach, gazed at Allie's and Kate's flat six-packs, and groaned out loud, without meaning to.
"Little piggy doesn't feel good,"
Hannah's dad asked, squeezing her small toe. Hannah shuddered at the memory and touched her now slim stomach. A, whoever A was totally right. Her dad didn't love her best.
"Everyone in the pond!"
Noel shouted, snapping Hannah out of her thoughts. Across the field, Hannah watched Sean pull off his t-shirt and run toward the water. Noel, James, Mason, and some other boys threw off their shirts, but Hannah didn't even care. Of all the nights to see Rosewood's hottest boys without their shirts on.
"They're all so gorgeous," murmured Felicity McDowell,
who was mixing tequila with Fanta grape next to her.
"Aren't they?"
She muttered. Hannah ground her teeth together. Fuck her happy father and his perfect soon-to-be stepdaughter, and fuck Sean and his choosiness. She grabbed a bottle of Kettle One from the table and drank straight from it. She put the bottle back down, but at the last second decided to bring it to the pond with her. Sean wasn't going to get away with dumping her, insulting her, and then straight up ignoring her. No way. She stopped at a pile of clothes that were no doubt Sean's. The jeans were neatly folded, and he'd anally stuffed his little white socks into his Pumas. Making sure no one was looking, she balled up the jeans in her hands and started backing away from the pond. What would the V-Club say if they caught him driving home in his boxers? As she walked toward the trees with Sean's jeans, something fell and bounced off her foot. Hannah picked it up and stared at it for a moment, waiting for her vision to undouble. The key to the BMW. "Sweet," she whispered, stroking the alarm button with her finger. Then she dropped the jeans back on the ground and shoved the keys into her blue quilted Moschino bag. It was a gorgeous night for a drive. 22. Beer baths are good for the pores. "Check it out," Maya whispered excitedly. "There used to be one of these in my favorite cafe back in Cali." Emily and Maya stared at the old-school photo booth at the perimeter of Noel's yard and the woods. A long orange extension cord wound its way to the booth from Noel's house across the lawn. As they admired it, Noel's older brother, Eric, and a very giddy Mona Vanderwaal fell out of the booth, grabbed their photos, and skipped away. Maya glanced at Emily. "Wanna try it?" Emily nodded. Before they ducked inside, she quickly glanced around the party. Some kids were gathered around the keg, and a lot of other people held their red plastic cups in the air as they danced. Noel and a bunch of boys were swimming in the duck pond in their boxers. Ben was nowhere to be seen. Emily sat beside Maya on the photo booth's little orange seat and closed the curtain. They were so squeezed together, their shoulders and thighs touched. "Here." Maya handed her the Jack Daniels bottle and hit the green start button. Emily did a shot, then held it up triumphantly as the camera snapped the first picture. Then they squished their faces together and donned huge grins. Emily rolled her eyes back into her head, and Maya puffed her cheeks out like a monkey for the third picture. Then the camera caught them looking semi-normal, if maybe a bit nervous. "Let's go see how they look," Emily said. But as she stood up, Maya grabbed her sleeve. "Can we stay in here a sec? This is such a great hiding spot."
Sure.
Emily sat back down. She swallowed loudly, without meaning to.
"So, how have you been?"
Maya asked, pushing hair out of Emily's eyes. Emily sighed, trying to get comfy on the cramped seat. "Confused. Upset at my possibly racist parents. Afraid I made the wrong decision about swimming. kinda freaked that I'm sitting so close to you?
I'm all right, she said finally.
Maya snorted and took a swig of whiskey.
I don't believe that for one second.
Emily paused. Maya seemed like the only person who actually understood her.
Yeah, I guess not, she said.
Well, what's going on?
But suddenly, Emily didn't want to talk about swimming or Ben or her parents. She wanted to talk about something else completely. Something that had been slowly dawning on her. Maybe seeing Aria had triggered it, or maybe finally having a real friend again had brought the feeling back. Emily thought Maya would understand. She took a deep breath.
So, you know that girl, Allison, the one who used to live in your house?
Yeah.
We were really close, and I, like, really loved her. Like, everything about her.
She heard Maya breathe out and nervously took another sip of Jack Daniels from the bottle.
We were best friends, Emily said, rubbing her fingers between the ratty blue fabric of the photo booth curtain. I cared about her so much. So this one day, sort of out of the blue, I did it.
Did what?
Well, Allie and I were in this treehouse in her backyard. We went there a lot to talk. We were sitting up there, talking about this guy that she liked, some older boy whose name she wouldn't say, and I just felt like I couldn't hold any of it in anymore. So I leaned over and kissed her. Maya made a small sniffing noise. She wasn't into it, though. She was even kind of distant and said, like, well, now I know why you get so quiet when we're changing for gym.
God, Maya said.
Emily took another sip of whiskey and felt dizzy. She'd never had this much to drink, and here was one of her biggest secrets, hanging out like granny underwear on a clothesline. Allie said she didn't think best friends should kiss, she went on. So I tried to play it off as a joke, but when I went home, I realized how I really felt. So I wrote her this letter, telling her that I loved her. I don't think she ever got it, though. If she did, she never said anything. A tear plopped on Emily's bare knee. Maya noticed it and smeared it with her finger. I still think about her a lot. Emily sighed. I'd sort of pushed that memory back, told myself it was just about her being my very best friend, but not anything, you know, else. But now I don't know.
They sat there for a few minutes. The party sounds filtered in. Every few seconds, Emily heard the rough flicker of someone's Zippo lighting a cigarette. She wasn't that surprised about what she'd just said about Allie. It was scary, of course, but it was also the truth. In a way, it felt good to have finally figured it out.
Since we're sharing, Maya said quietly, I have something to tell you too.
She turned her forearm over to show Emily the white, raised scar on her wrist.
You might have seen this.
Yeah, Emily whispered, squinting at it in the pale semi-darkness of the booth.
It's from one of the times I cut myself with a razor blade. I didn't know it was going to go so deep. There was so much blood. My parents took me to the emergency room.
You cut yourself on purpose? Emily whispered.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really do it anymore. I try not to.
Why do you do that?
I don't know, Maya said. Sometimes I just feel like I need to. You can touch it if you want.
Emily did. It was puckered and smooth, not like real skin at all. Touching it felt like the most intimate thing Emily had ever done. She reached over to hug Maya. Maya's body shook. She buried her head in Emily's neck. Like before, she smelled like artificial bananas. Emily pressed herself to Maya's slight chest. What was it like to cut yourself? To watch yourself bleed like that? Emily had her fair share of baggage, but even in the wake of her absolute worst memories, like of when Allie rejected her, or of the Jenna thing, she'd felt guilty and horrible and strange, but she'd never wanted to hurt herself. Maya raised her head and met Emily's eyes. Then, smiling a little sadly, she kissed Emily's lips. Emily blinked at her, surprised. "Sometimes best friends do kiss," Maya said. "See?" They hung apart, nose practically touching nose. Outside, the crickets sawed away furiously. Then Maya reached for her. Emily melted into her lips. Their mouths were open, and she felt Maya's soft tongue. Emily's chest clenched up excitedly as she raked her hands through Maya's rough hair, then down to her shoulders, then her back. Maya stuck her hands under Emily's polo shirt and pressed her fingers flat against her belly. Emily self-consciously flinched, but then relaxed. This felt a zillion times different than kissing Ben. Maya's hands traveled up her body and felt over her bra. Emily shut her eyes. Maya's mouth tasted delicious, like Jack Daniels and licorice. Next, Maya kissed Emily's chest and shoulders. Emily threw her head back. Someone had painted a moon and a bunch of stars on the photo booth ceiling. Suddenly, the curtain started to open. Emily jumped, but it was too late. Someone had torn the curtain back completely. Then Emily saw who it was. "Oh my God," she sputtered. "Shit," Maya echoed. The Jack Daniels bottle swished onto the floor. Ben held two cups of beer, one in each hand. "Well, this explains things."
"Ben, I..."
Emily scrambled out of the booth, bumping her head on the door.
"Don't get up for me,"
Ben said in a horrible, mocking, angry yet hurt voice Emily had never heard before.
"No," Emily squeaked. "You don't understand."
She climbed out of the booth completely. So did Maya. Out of the corner of her eye, Emily noticed Maya pick up their strip of photos and stuff it into her pocket.
"Don't even talk," Ben spat.
Then he turned and threw one of the cups of beer at her. It splashed warmly all over Emily's legs, her shoes, and her shorts. The cup bounced crazily into the bushes.
"Ben!"
Emily cried. Ben hesitated, then threw the other one more directly at Maya. It splashed her face and hair. Maya screamed.
"Stop it!" Emily gasped. "You fucking dykes," Ben said.
She heard the crackly tears in his voice. Then he turned and ran crookedly into the darkness. 23. Icelandic Aria gets what she wants.
"Finland, I've been looking everywhere for you."
It was an hour later, and Aria was just stepping out of the photo booth. Noel Kahn stood in front of her, naked except for his Calvin Klein boxers, which were wet and clingy. He was holding a yellow plastic cup of beer and her just-developed strip of pictures. Noel shook his hair around a little, and water from his hair sprayed onto her APC miniskirt.
"Why are you all wet?" Aria asked.
"We were playing water polo."
Aria glanced at the pond. The boys were batting one another in the heads with pink fun noodles. On the banks, girls in nearly identical Alberta Ferrari mini-dresses huddled together, gossiping. Over by the hedges, not that far from them, she spied her brother, Mike. He was with a petite girl in a plaid micro-mini and platform heels. Noel followed her gaze.
"That's one of those Quaker schoolgirls," he murmured. "Those chicks are nuts."
Mike glanced up and saw Aria and Noel together. He gave Aria an approving nod. Noel tapped Aria's photo strip with his thumb.
"These are gorgeous."
Aria looked at them. Bored out of her skull, she'd been taking pictures of herself in the booth for 20 minutes. This round, she'd made sultry sex kitten expressions.
Trey sigh.
She'd come here thinking that Ezra, jealous and lustful, would come and whisk her away. But, duh, he was a teacher, and a teacher wouldn't go to a student's party.
"Noel!"
James Freed called from across the lawn.
Keg's tapped.
Shit, Noel said. He gave Arya a wet kiss on her cheek.
This beer's for you. Don't leave.
Uh-huh, Arya said drolly, watching him scamper away, his boxers slowly sliding down to reveal his pale, defined from running butt. He really likes you, you know. Arya turned. Mona Vanderwall sat on the ground a few feet away. Her blonde hair was in coils around her face, and her gold-rimmed bug-eye sunglasses had slid down her nose. Noel's older brother, Eric, had his head in her lap. Mona blinked slowly. Noel's awesome. He'd make such a good friend, boy. Eric burst out laughing.
What?
Mona bent down to him.
What's so funny?
She's so stoned,
Eric said to Arya. As Arya scoured her brain for something to say, her trio beeped. She wrenched it out of her purse and looked at the number.
Ezra. Oh my god, oh my god.
Hello, she answered quietly.
Hey, Arya?
Oh, hey, what's up? She tried to sound as controlled and cool as possible.
I'm at home, having a scotch, thinking about you.
Arya paused, closed her eyes, and a glow passed through her.
Really?
Yep. You at that big party?
Uh-huh.
You bored?
She laughed. A little.
Wanna come by?
Okay. Ezra started to give her directions, but Arya already knew where it was. She'd looked up his address on MapQuest and Google Earth, but she couldn't exactly tell him that.
Cool, she said. See you soon.
Arya shoved the phone back into her purse as calmly as she could, and then banged the rubbery soles of her boots together.
Yes.
Hey, I know where I know you from.
Arya looked over. Noel's brother, Eric, was squinting at her while Mona kissed his neck.
You're the friend of that chick who disappeared, right?
Arya looked at him and pushed her hair out of her eyes. I don't know who you're talking about, she said, and walked away. A lot of Rosewood was gated estates and renovated 50-acre horse farms, but near the college, there was a series of rambling, cobblestone streets lined with falling-to-pieces Victorian houses. The houses in Old Hollis were painted crazy colors like purple, pink, and teal, and were usually split into apartments and leased to students. Arya's family had lived in an Old Hollis house until Arya was 5, which was when her dad got his first teaching job at the college. As Arya drove slowly down Ezra Street, she noticed one house with Greek letters mounted onto its siding. Toilet paper wound through its trees. Another house had a half-finished painting on an easel in the front yard. She pulled up to Ezra's house. After parking, she climbed up the stone front steps and rang the bell. The door flung open, and there he was.
Wow, he said. Hey.
His mouth spread into a wiggly smile. Hi, Arya answered, smiling back at him in the same way. Ezra laughed.
You're here. Wow.
You already said wow, Arya teased. They entered into a hallway. Ahead of her, a creaky staircase with a different swatch of carpet on each step wound its way upstairs. On the right, a door was ajar.
This apartment's mine.
Arya walked in and noticed a clawfoot bathtub in the middle of Ezra's living room. She pointed at it.
It's too heavy to move, Ezra said sheepishly. So I store books in there.
Cool. Arya looked around, taking in Ezra's gigantic bay window, dusty built-in bookshelves, and yellow crushed velvet sofa. It smelled faintly of macaroni and cheese, but there was a crystal chandelier hanging from the ceiling, a funky mosaic tile around the mantel, and real logs in the fireplace. This was so much more Arya's style than the Khan's million-dollar duck pond and 27-room estate. I totally want to live here, Arya said.
I can't stop thinking about you, Ezra said at the same time.
Arya looked over her shoulder.
Really? Ezra came up behind her and put his hands on her waist. Arya leaned slightly into him. They stood there for a moment, and then Arya turned. She stared at his clean-shaven face, at the bump at the edge of his nose, the green flecks in his eyes. She touched a mole on his earlobe and felt him shudder.
I just couldn't ignore you in class, he whispered. It was torture. When you were giving that report...
You touched my hand today, Arya teased. You were looking at my notebook.
You kissed Noel, Ezra said back. I was so jealous.
Then it worked, Arya whispered. Ezra sighed and wrapped his arms around her. She met his mouth with hers and they kissed feverishly, their hands crawling up each other's backs. They backed up for a second, breathlessly staring into each other's eyes.
No more talk about class, Ezra said.
Deal. He guided her into a tiny back bedroom that had clothes all over the floor and an open bag of Lay's on the nightstand. They sat down.